You guys excited to play some dodgeball later?
Right. Good.
Well, before we get there, we're going to study God's word for a little bit. So I want you guys, if you would you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9? I want to show you guys something I found this week. As we've been talking through a series called Just in the Neighborhood, talking about how Jesus himself came to earth to be with us because he wants to live with us because he loves you. We're going to look tonight at something else Jesus did while he was on his way to earth living among us. He does something really awesome in this passage. Matthew chapter 9. As you guys are turning there or looking up here, how many of you guys have crazy neighbors? Any crazy neighbors? We've been talking about neighbors because of this series the last couple weeks. But when I was growing up, I had this like group of buddies and we thought we were ninjas. Anybody like dudes, can you relate to that? Like we had like the whole ninja. We had the tabby boots. How many of you guys are geeky enough to know what tabby boots are? Tabby boots, two of us. We're buddies. They're these like cool like split toes boots that you could like climb. And we were like legit ninjas. And so we would go around the neighborhood wearing our full ninja gear and we would like harass all of our neighbors. We'd like sneak through their backyard and see if we could get through there without them knowing we were back there. But there was this one neighbor. We called him the doctor. Because apparently when he was young, and he was like 900 years old by this point, but when he was young, he was a doctor, and but now we thought he was like Dr. Evil, because like the dude was so mean. We would go by his house, and it felt like he would like yell at us. Every single time he saw us, he'd be yelling. Every time that he'd see us, he'd make this like scowl on his face, and he'd like look at us like he wanted to kill us. So we knew, like we had talks. We had these little like powwows with our ninja buddies. We would get together, and we talked about how we thought this dude was like murdering people, and he would like steal people our age and try to kill them. And so we didn't like this guy. We were all scared to death of him, so we would do stuff. We would take these like plastic forks and get like boxes and boxes of them. And when he was asleep at night, like we'd sneak out and we'd go and we'd stick all the plastic forks all over his yard. So he'd wake up in the morning and look out there and his whole yard would be full of forks. And he'd be out there. He's this old guy. He'd be like, oh, he's trying to like pull out fork by fork out of his yard. It was so great. We'd be sitting across the street just like laughing. Or we'd like teepee, like toilet paper, all of his palm trees in his house in the middle of the night, or like throw water balloons at his house to wake him up. Or like, I'll stop because I don't want to keep giving you guys ideas, but we were like really mean to this guy because we knew he was killing kids in his house. We're like, I know you're killing people. You're like really mean. But it turns out that as I got older, I met this guy once on the street and I was like, oh, what do I do? He's going to kill me. He's going to drag me in his house. But he didn't. The guy like, am I standing around spot? The guy like was so nice. He looked at me and he gave me this big toothless smile because by this point all of his teeth had fallen out and he didn't want to be, you know, and he's like, stuck his hand out like to shake my hand. And I was like, but I thought you like killed little kids and like you're a really mean old guy and like steal people's dogs. But he was really nice. And it turns out that this whole time here we are thinking that he was a bad neighbor. And really, we were the bad neighbors. I mean, we're the ones sticking forks in his front yard and teepeeing his house and throwing water balloons at him and doing all this stuff. And it wasn't really him the whole time. It was actually a really nice guy. We were being the bad neighbors. And so, you know, the passage that we're going to look at tonight, I want to encourage us to think about that. Like, what kind of neighbor are you? And I don't mean necessarily to the people who, like, live next door to you. But just in general, what kind of person are you? To the people that are around you, maybe the people sitting in the pew or the aisle with you tonight, or maybe some people that you invited, or just people in your life group, like, how are you to them? Because sometimes we have this preset, like, notion in our heads that everybody else around us, they're all the bad people. They're the ones who are mean. They're the ones who are doing this or that, or I saw that look that person gave me. But really, could it be us sometimes? Could it really be us that's the bad neighbor? And so I want us to just kind of be honest with each other and with ourselves tonight as we read this passage and ask yourself that question, what kind of neighbor are you? Because in this passage, Jesus does something really cool. He comes to earth. We saw that last week. He moves into our neighborhood, earth. He steps out of his throne in heaven and becomes a man to live amongst us. And he did it because he loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be with you. He wants a real relationship with you. Not just some dry religion where you show up to church and you do churchy stuff. He wants to know you. He wants a relationship with you. And so we see what he did to do that. In this passage tonight, we see that Jesus actually seeks us out. He looks for us. He goes and seeks us wherever we're at. He doesn't just sit back and go, yeah, hopefully you'll get by. He goes, I love you. I moved here to be with you. I died on a cross for you. I'm seeking you out. I'm running after you. So will you read with me Matthew chapter 9? Hopefully you're there. Verses 9 to 13. It says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. You got to know something about this guy, Matthew. His name was actually Levi. He was a Jewish guy. His Greek name was Matthew. And he's living in this place right now in this time where the Roman Empire ruled them. So you have all these Jewish people still living together in this one area, and the Romans were actually in charge. The Roman government ruled over them. And so Matthew had this occupation, this job that people didn't like him for. He was a tax collector. It says that he was sitting in his tax booth. Now, this is what tax collectors did. They'd go to their own people and then charge the money to bring back to the Roman government. And his people were like, what? You're taking our money to give to the enemy? You're a traitor, dude. And so he was viewed as this traitor. People hated him. He would charge more money than he was supposed to charge just to pocket a little bit. And people knew that. That wasn't a good neighbor. This dude wasn't a good neighbor. He wasn't a good countryman. He wasn't a good friend. And people knew it. So Matthew's this guy who was hated by his own people, but the Romans loved him. And the Romans had all the power and the money. And so he had these very powerful, influential friends, and he had lots of money. And so for Matthew, he's looking around going, I'm living a pretty good life. I mean, sure, my own people hate my guts and would kill me if I turned my back on them. But look at all this stuff that I have. People knew that Matthew was a crook. When I used to live in Guatemala, I lived in this orphanage up at the top of a mountain. And there was there were these nannies that would live there, and they would take care of the orphans. And the nannies had their own little areas where they would have these little shacks or houses or whatever with the kids that would live with them. And they would watch that group of kids. And so we had some American nannies and we had some Guatemalan nannies. And after a few weeks, we had a couple of new Guatemalan nannies come in. And all of a sudden, the American nanny's shoes started disappearing. But just one shoe. They just lost one shoe. And so they'd be running around. Hey, has anyone seen my shoe? Maybe one of the orphans tossed it off the side of the mountain or something like that happened. But then somebody else would lose one shoe. And then another person would lose one shoe. And it went on for a couple weeks. And we're like, what is going on? Why is everyone losing just one shoe? This is this phantom that's sneaking around eating people's one shoe. Until finally we noticed that one of the new nannies didn't have a left leg. And so she was going around stealing just the shoe that she needed. And so finally one of the nannies recognized her shoe on this woman and was like, wait, that's my one shoe I'm missing. And so basically we figured out that this lady was a crook. She was going around stealing people's shoes. And it was obvious. You could just look at her foot and be like, hey, that's my shoe. And she stood out. It was noticeable. So she went through this deal where she asked forgiveness. She gave her stuff back. But from that point on, people kind of knew man, watch your stuff around her. There's something about that lady. I don't know if I trust you now. I don't know if it's going to be the same between us now. And I feel for Matthew, his people are looking at him the same way. Dude, we can't trust you. We know you've robbed from us. We know you've done these things. We know this about your character. And so it set this idea in my head. Now, you're going to have to really work to undo that. And so Matthew didn't have a lot of friends. Here's a dude who had all sorts of stuff, but his character kept people from trusting him and loving him. That's the dude that we're talking about tonight. All of a sudden, Jesus comes by. And he looks at Matthew and he says to him this. You see this part? He says, follow me. Put yourself in Matthew's shoes. He's literally sitting in his place of work. Imagine if you're in like math class. You guys started school. Woo-hoo! Some of you tomorrow are starting school, right? You're sitting in math class. This dude wearing like a toga and some sandals walks by and is like, hey, leave your books, follow me. And you just like get up, walk out of school, don't talk to your family or tell them where you're going. You leave everything you own behind and you just follow this guy. That's Matthew right now. I'm just leaving my job. He's a tax collector. The dude has tons and tons of money sitting right there in his booth. And what does he do? I don't care. He leaves the money. He leaves his job. He gets himself in trouble, so he loses his job. He loses his influence. He gets up and literally just leaves everything right there in the middle of the workday, and he follows Jesus. That's a crazy call. That's insane. That's borderline, if not fanatical, to just be like, hey, just get up, leave everything, and just follow me. How many of us would be willing to just get up and go? Jesus says, come on. Okay, Jesus, I'll leave it all behind. Here I go. That's a crazy call from Matthew. Those two words, man, when I was a little kid, I lived in South Florida, down in West Palm Beach. And I lived on this one street. It was like a little neighborhood. I knew like everybody on my street, played with all the kids on the street. And there was a new family that just moved in next door. And I remember they were from Panama. And the first day I met them, their young daughter, who was my age, we were in elementary school, walks out the front door. And I caught eyes with her. I was like, whoa, she moved in next door? She had this long, beautiful black hair, these big, huge brown eyes, and just a sassy little look. And I was like, I love you. It was so great. I'm like, they're the new neighbors. I was so excited. And the first words when I went up to meet her, she was still learning English. So the first words she said to me, I still remember to this day, she looked at me and she goes, sígueme, which means follow me. And I was like, hey, let's go. Heck yeah, come on, wherever you want to go. And she wanted to introduce me to her parents, and they had delicious empanadas, by the way, which was awesome. But that's for another story. Yeah, follow me. Those are some big words, because we don't always know where we're going. Jesus tells Matthew, let's go. He doesn't even know where. He doesn't say, hey, we're going to go down this way. Here's a map. Check it out on your iPhone. Look at your GPS. This is where we're headed. It was just like, let's go. He's like, where? He doesn't ask. He's got no clue what the destination is. He has no clue what he's going to have to give up or leave behind. But you know what? Matthew didn't care. Because what he saw in front of him was worth so much more, even in those couple seconds of seeing Jesus. He knew Jesus was worth more than anything he was going to have to give up. He knew it. He could take a look at Jesus and say, I know this guy. This is the one they've talked about. This is what I've heard about, who does miracles and heals the lame, causes guys who can't walk to get up and run. He takes the blind and gives them sight again. This is that Jesus I've heard about. Yes, I'm getting up. I will leave all this behind to follow him. And he just heard those two simple words. It wasn't a big, long speech to convince him. It was just, hey, follow me. And it says that he rose and followed him. It was that simple. There was no hesitation. I'm going to show you guys a quick video. Try to picture what Matthew didn't do when you see this video right here. Did you see the hesitation? Right? How many of you guys would hesitate? Mom walks in the living room and is like, does my butt look big? And you're like, yeah, it does, Mom. Like, some of you guys wouldn't hesitate, but that'd be a bad thing, right? You should. Matthew didn't. There was no hesitation. You see, Avan, he didn't know what to say. He had no clue. Like, Matthew was immediate. I love that about this story. There was no hesitation. Like, Matthew didn't even have to think because it was just so obvious what Jesus meant. Can I ask you an honest question for a second? Could we be honest real quick with each other tonight? I know there's a lot of fun and games we got planned, but just have a moment of just pause. Will you ask yourself that? What does Jesus mean to you? If Jesus were here tonight and is like, listen, I just want you to follow me. I'm not going to tell you where. I'm not going to tell you what. So many of us are planners, right? Like, we like to plan things out. You're freaking out because like the seniors and juniors, you're like, where am I going to go to college? I don't even know. I don't know what I'm going to be in life and like how many kids I'm going to have. And like, man, trust Jesus. See, we always want the answers to everything. And Jesus is just like, hey, will you follow me? Trust me with it. So here's that question. Like, ask yourself that tonight. If Jesus were here right now, and he is, right? Jesus is with us right now. And he looks at you and he goes, hey, will you just straight up leave everything and follow me? Where are you at? Where are you going to be in 5 minutes? When I look you up next year, where are you going to be at? I pray to God that you guys would be, I'm right behind Jesus. He led me to some crazy places I never thought I would have gone. And by myself, I wouldn't have gone there. But I followed, and now look at where God has taken me. But you got to have the courage to step up and say, Jesus, I'm going, just like Matthew. Look, I'm going to do this. I'm going. And I love that about Jesus, because picture yourself in Matthew's shoes now. This is what Jesus does when he moves into our neighborhood, into our lives. He seeks you out. He finds you right where you're at, right where you're working, right where whatever you're doing. Jesus comes to you, and some of you guys, it's tonight. Some of you guys are sitting here and you're hearing words about Jesus and he's actively talking to you. I'm just like this voice in the background you can't even hear right now, because Jesus is like, hey, listen, I'm talking to you right now. He's seeking you out where you're at and he's calling you to follow him. That's what he came here for. That's what he became flesh for. It's what he died on a cross for and rose again for, to seek you out and to forgive your sin. And so you got to make a choice. Will I be like Matthew? Will I get up immediately and just say, let's go, Jesus? You don't have to tell me where. You don't have to tell me when or how. I just want to follow you because I know you're better than anything I'm going to leave behind. You're everything. Verse 10 says, and as Jesus reclined at table in the house, all of a sudden we just jump right to this house. It appears that Jesus like went straight to Matthew's house. So when he was like, hey, follow me, he walked to Matthew's house. He's like, you just led me to my own house, bro. And so they're hanging out in Matthew's house. He makes them dinner and they're sitting there reclined back. So their custom, they'd sit around these like carpets with these big pillows on the ground. And like, that's how their culture was. And so when it says recline, they were just chilling. It means that they were in this like really cool, intimate like setting where they were having community and fellowship and friendship. They're talking and laughing and eating together. What a cool picture of the church. What if instead of when I say church, you guys no longer picture just some like really like hard pews and really cold air conditioning and like your like boredom and drawing on your like paper from the back of the pew? Like, you didn't picture that anymore. Instead, when I said church, you pictured being around people that you love, people that you want to laugh with and eat with and hang out in their houses and do life together and go serve other people with, people that encourage you to follow Jesus, people that you get together and you're excited to pray with them. Read the Bible with that group of people. That's what you picture when you picture church, because that's how Jesus did church. That's how I encourage us to be doing church. Let us be those type of people. You're going to see some cool stuff happening at Firehouse. Some things that we're doing, eating dinner in each other's homes just to study God's word, or just to merely hang out and love each other. We want to encourage you guys, be people that are in each other's lives. Don't grow up to be people in a few years who just, you're content sitting in a pew, singing some songs and going home, because that ain't church. Be people that love each other and want to actively be the church. The way Jesus sought Matthew out. Will you seek each other out? Will you seek people out that don't know Jesus and go love them right where they're at? So that's the cool thing about Matthew, is that he was a sleazy dude. I mean, it's not cool he was sleazy, but it's cool that Jesus went to him even though he was. And actually, the Pharisees, you see what they say next? It says that many tax collectors and sinners came to the house. So if Jesus was just this like really like stuffy like preacher man that was really mean to everybody for being sinners, you think a bunch of sinners would show up and hang out with him? You think they want to be like, let's go hang out with Jesus because he's going to yell at us and point his finger in our face and judge us. Come on, yeah, sounds like fun. Like, that wasn't Jesus. These people who had nothing to do with church or religion, who didn't care about any of that stuff, they felt comfortable around Jesus because he loved them. And so they showed up at this house and they're all just sitting around now. And they're all eating and they're laughing and they're reclining around this like this area with Jesus and Matthew. And they're just enjoying each other's company. And Jesus the whole time is loving them. He's not accepting any sin in their life. He's not pointing his finger in their face. He's accepting them right where they're at, just like Matthew sitting at that table being a total sleazeball. And Jesus sought him out in the middle of it. He says, I love you. I love you for who you are. You know that you're welcome in this place tonight. It doesn't matter what stage you are in your life. It doesn't matter what you're going through or what sins you're tackling. Or maybe you don't even want to have anything to do with church. You're still welcome in this room. You're still welcome around this group of people. And we love you and we're just glad you're here. And we want you to know this Jesus that we're talking about desperately. We don't hide that because we know what he's done to change our lives. But we love you just how you are. We're not trying to change you, but we do want you to meet Jesus because we believe Jesus will change you the way he changed us. So I hope you feel welcome and like you belong here because that's what we're about. It says then all of a sudden these guys show up though. They always tend to show up. Verse 11, when the Pharisees saw this, the Pharisees were these like legalistic religious dudes who were always following Jesus around and like yelling at him for like stuff. And here they come again. It says, they said to Jesus' disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Are you serious? Your rabbi, your like teacher, this religious Jesus who heals people, he's eating with sinners? He's eating with partiers? Why would he hang out with people like that? Jesus has a good word for him. I hope you see it tonight. He says, he looks back at these guys and he says, those who are well, they have no need of a physician. They don't need a doctor. But those who are sick. Jesus is saying, as I'm sitting here with these people around me, I know they're not like you. I know they're different from you guys. I know they do different things from you guys that you don't agree with. But I didn't come to heal perfect people. Because for two reasons. Number one, there are no perfect people. You Pharisees are just as broken as everybody else. You guys as pastor, I'm just as broken as everybody else. You see, we're all in this together because we're broken by sin. We are. We're born that way. We've lived that way. And on our own, that's just how we stay. But the second reason is because Jesus didn't just come to heal. A perfect person doesn't need Jesus. If there were, and there aren't, they wouldn't even need Jesus. Why would he need to come? But the thing is, all of us do. You do. As good as you think you are, you're not perfect. As good as you think I might be, I'm not. I'm not perfect. We need Christ. Every single one of us need this Jesus who looks at us and says, I know you're broken. I know you're a sinner. I know you're not perfect. You've done things. I know what you've done, but I love you. And I came down and became flesh to live among you because I love you. And I'm sitting reclined at this table with these sinners, Pharisees, because you could sit with us if you want. Because I came for broken people. I came for people who aren't perfect. That's who I want to be around. But tell me this then. Why so often when we go to church do we think automatically, oh, that person cusses. I don't want to talk to that person. That person goes to parties. I'm just going to walk and stay over here. I can't be around that person. Why do we tend to be so judgmental of people when we could look right back at ourselves and find all sorts of sin in us? All sorts of imperfections and brokenness. Instead, Jesus says, you know, my church, the real church, looks at broken people and says, I love you because I'm broken too. We don't have room to have pride because we're just as broken. How can we be prideful? What are we going to boast about? Our own brokenness? Jesus says, you're all on the same level. And so I'm not. I came for you. I came for the broken. I came to love you. I came to take you and help you not be broken anymore and to forgive your sin and to transform you. But it's not your job to judge. It's your job to love and let me do the transforming. Would you love people and just introduce them to me so I can do my work? And that's what the church should look like. So much so that he looks back at him and he says, go and learn what this means. I want you to go out and try to figure this out. And this is what he tells them. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The Pharisees were all about these sacrificial things. They would like kill lambs and do all these things depending on what kind of sin you committed. And they would keep track of it. And it was all about sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice to like follow these rules. And Jesus said, I'm about mercy. I'm about loving you right where you are at. I came because you're broken. I'm not surprised by it. I saw it before I ever showed up. I'm seeking you out. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's what he came for. He came looking for us because we were lost. He wanted to rescue us in the middle of our sin. He transforms us. Mark 1:40 to 42, we see this really cool thing. I want to show you guys this as I close. Jesus is with this dude who's a leper. And listen to what happens. Verse 40 says, and a leper came to him, begging him and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. So moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Would you touch a leper? This dude who has leprosy, whose hands are rotting off, reaches out to you. What's your first instinct? Bro, dude, like I don't want that. Like, get that out of my face. And instead, what does Jesus do? Let me reach back. Let me reach back at this where everyone else would be repulsed by you and what you're doing. I'm touching you. And he grabs on to that rotting hand and says, I love you. And because of your faith, because I came to look for you for this reason, I'm going to heal you. And poof, the guy's healed. He looks down, he's got a brand new body. That's our Jesus. He looks at us in our brokenness and our sin. We're really, a lot of church people would go, oh man, I don't want that. Jesus says, I'm reaching out. I'm going to touch you. I want to heal you. I love you. I know that because Romans 5:8 says this, if you're still not tracking with me, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't go, hey, Rob, once you get your act together, bro, I'll come down and die for you and I'll raise again so you can be saved. He said, man, you can't get out of that mess. You're stuck, Rob. You're broken. Sin is so enticing. You're never going to get out of it. There's no way. So here's what I'm going to do in the middle of it. When you hate me, I'm coming for you. I'm coming down. And when you reach out with that leprosy sin hand to me, I'm reaching back and I'm loving you and I'm going to heal you. Think about it. All the people in the Bible that God had used that were like total sinners, that God said, nope, I'm taking you and I'm using you. Rahab, she was a prostitute. And look what God used her to do to help the people of Israel. I mean, it's crazy that he would use someone like that. Moses, he doubted God all the time. And then he asked him to speak and the dude couldn't even talk, right? He had this stutter and God has him go speak to the Pharaoh. He takes a very unlikely person and goes, I'm making you the champion here. David, man, David had all sorts of problems if you read the life of David. He starts off as this like dirty shepherd boy playing with sheep and he stunk. Nobody thought he was going to be anything. Makes him king. He sins. The man after God's own heart has this huge sin and cheats on this dude's wife. And all this craziness happens in his family. And God says, I'm going to use you in the middle of your sin, in the middle of your mess. I'm going to come in and I'm going to touch your leprosy and I'm going to love you. I'm going to heal you of this sin and make something of you. I mean, John the Baptist was a crazy man. The dude preached naked sometimes, right? Yeah, you're like, what? Like, yeah, it happened. And look at what John the Baptist did. Lazarus was dead. The dude was dead. And he wasn't too far gone for Jesus to raise him back up to life and to use him. And so you might be sitting here tonight and you're like, listen, Rob, like, I don't know. I don't know if God could use me. I'm broken. I got sin. I want to be the one to tell you. He came for you. That's why he came. That's why he became flesh, because he thought of you. Your name was on his lips when he thought, listen, I'm coming to earth because I want to heal their sin and because I love them. And so I want to challenge you guys with something tonight. I've been promising some of you this last couple weeks, and for the next 2 weeks, I'm still going to do it. Some of you guys raise your hand, and I'm so proud of you when you do that, man. You're like, listen, I want to live for Jesus. I want to be serious about this. And so we've been challenging you to take that next step, more than just raise your hand and let us pray for you. Now we're challenging you to do something a little more. Take a step with us as the body. And I hope God calls you to do lots of stuff on your own individually. But as a body, as a youth group, we want to start acknowledging what you're doing and say, let's do this with you. Let's come alongside of you as you raise your hand and let's go do something together. And so we put up these four papers on the walls here, sign-up lists, for some different ways that we want to serve Jesus together in our community. And I want to challenge you guys, if you're sitting here and you're listening to how Jesus has done this for you, and you're moved because you're like, man, I don't deserve that. I'm moved by how much he loves me. I want to go do this for other people and imitate Jesus. I want to challenge you to get up and to walk to one of those papers. I'm going to tell you what they say and say, look, I want to join my body here of believers. And I want to go out and serve Jesus the way he came to serve me. And so we got FCA. Justin was talking earlier about FCA. It's over here. Thank you. FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Justin told you guys about, happens in your schools, on your campuses. That's a way for you to go to people who might be broken and might need hope and just say, like, just go sit in that group and love them. You don't have to get up and, like, preach some big sermon, but you could show up and love people that might need some hope on your campus. And so I want to challenge you, sign up for FCA. Go to your school's FCA. There's another thing for Mission Trip Merritt Island where we go feed the homeless. It's over there. Thanks, Chelsea. Chelsea's going to point at these for you. All right. We go out and we feed the homeless. Some of you guys have already done that. If you've done it, give me a little woo-woo. It's awesome. We met so many people around this community who are homeless that just, it's cool to know them. We drive by and we yell their name out because we know them personally now. Come feed some homeless people with us. Make some relationships with people who need some hope. There's another one just to serve here at Firehouse or at church. It's back there. And thanks, Chelsea. There's all sorts of opportunities for you to be on the greeting team or do different things to help out as people show up here, to help them around, show them, help them meet new people, love people well. And so sign up for that. If you're saying, man, I want to step up in my youth group or step up in my church and do something here. Kids worship. If you want to work with some younger kids on Sunday mornings and just go do like Sunday school classes and stuff, give back to the next generation. Some older people have been around you to love you and teach you about Jesus. It's time for you guys to step up and do it yourself. And finally, the last one is Jubilation. And it's over here somewhere. You guys can walk around and find them. And Jubilation's getting the opportunity to lead worship on Sunday mornings, to go on these trips where we work with church planners and help them do all sorts of sweet stuff in the inner cities. Jubilation's getting together and doing service projects different times throughout the week. It's a sweet time to be able to just say, look, I'm giving back and I'm serving Jesus because he served me. And so here's what I want to do. Last time I like kind of let you guys off the hook a little bit and was like, when we're all done, go find a paper. And like three of you did. Good. That's awesome. And no boys, by the way. Come on, men, be leaders. All right. Lead this youth group. These papers, I want to ask you guys, the band's going to come on back up here. And so as the band comes up, before they start to lead us in worship, I want you guys take just a second as we close here. We're going to bow our heads. As we bow our heads, what I want you to do is just get up. Don't even bother bowing your head. If you're like, I'm going to go sign one of these papers to say, I'm going to do one of these things. Just get up and go do that. The rest of you guys, I want to ask you to bow your heads with me for just a second as we pray, okay? You bow your heads or go sign a paper. Because there's another group of people here tonight. And you might be like, hey, this Jesus you're talking about that came to dwell among us, like I haven't met him yet. He hasn't forgiven me. I need my sin forgiven. Tonight's the night when I want to offer to you that like, we would love to pray for you so that you can meet Jesus. Will you just raise your hand up and you're like, just quietly, I just want to pray for you. I want to know who this Jesus is you keep talking about. I'd love to have my sin forgiven. I'd love to meet this Savior that says he came to die for me. Who is this Jesus? Will you slip your hand up in the air for me? Just raise your hand up and say, will you pray for me? All right, you can put your hands down if you haven't already. The rest of you guys, keep doing your thing. Keep signing up. I'm going to pray for us and for those who just raised their hand, all right? And then we're going to keep worshiping together. Father, we love you and we thank you so much that you came to earth to be with us. Jesus, you left your throne because you love us. I pray, Father, that you would teach us to do the same. Cause us to be people that seek out the lost, that seek out broken people, that need a friend, that need some hope in their life. It's what you gave us hope for, to share it with others. Lord, I just pray you do that in our hearts. God, for those who raise their hand tonight to receive salvation, Lord, I pray, God, that you would give them clarity about who you are. God, cause a conversation between them and a leader or myself later on tonight, Lord. Let them know that they're safe to come talk to us. Father, that they would pray and be able to lay their sin and their lives at your feet and know you as their Savior, Lord. God, we love you. We just want to tell you tonight, will you hear us as we continue to worship you? Will you hear our hearts cry out how good you are? God, we believe it. We love it. That's why we're here tonight, because you are everything to us. Lord Jesus, if you say follow, we're following. Lead us. Lead us on and hear our worship. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.